the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Episode 16 of the Sports Report Podcast. I have a caller on line number one. Caller number one, how you doing today?
How's it going? Dave Schulman here.
How you doing, my friend?
How's everything going?
Going pretty good. Thank you for joining us tonight. I do appreciate it, my friend.
No problem. Glad to be on. Glad to talk some football early on and early and often.
As much football as you can get in, let's get it in. All right, the first thing I wanted to ask you, I am a huge Florida State fan, and I was kind of shocked when we look at the schedule that they're taking on Alabama first game of the season. Some people are calling it the best opening game to a season ever. What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, this is an amazing matchup. Obviously, Alabama was in the national championship game last year, and Florida State has some exceptional players that are coming in. I mean, they have Derwin James, they have Jacques Patrick, they have DeAndre Francois, quarterback. So it's going to be an unbelievable matchup. And then, obviously, Alabama with Jalen Hurts, their quarterback. I know he's going to be battling for the starting position, even though he was a star last year. But then they got Minkah Fitzpatrick over there, a cornerback who's, you know, all-world cornerback, first round, probably top 15 pick if he comes out this year. So it's an unbelievable matchup.
It's incredible. I really think it benefits both schools, but I think it benefits Florida State a little bit more because you get those young kids, particularly the recruit class they have coming in, you get that, you give them more exposure in a big-time game as well.
Yeah, because they have some young stars that will be coming in. Like Cam Akers. So, I mean, you're going to have guys that will be getting on the field for the first time, and you're throwing them right into the fire.
Right off the rip, going to be thrown right into the fire. I'm one of the people in the minority. I'm thinking the ACC has caught the SEC. What you think?
Well, I mean, in what way has the ACC gone ahead of the just because of Clemson last year? I look at it like year in and year out, top to bottom, SEC cannot be matched. There are some teams year to year that have some players and some teams that can match up. But top to bottom, the SEC week in and week out. I mean, sometimes you get to that national championship game, you've been battling all year in the SEC, and you know, it could wear you down. There are great teams that don't even get to the mix. So, but there is a little bit of the SEC is, I would say, slightly been caught up to in the last couple of years versus 3 or 4 years ago when they had a complete stranglehold on by far the best conference. Some teams have begun to catch up, and the ACC is obviously one of them, and obviously the Big Ten.
Do you think that's due to the way recruiting has changed throughout the years?
Yeah, I think one of the things that have happened in recruiting because of social media and everybody has exposure and everybody knows who's committing where, you don't have players holding out for that offer. They're going to take a chance on another program to have that opportunity right away. You have players that come in that are stars that want to play right away. I don't know if that's good or bad, but they want to play and they want to get action right away. So if you're going to an SEC program, you know, more than likely you're going to wait a year. So a lot of top players have tried to go some other places, and that's been the sales pitch in recruiting. I mean, that's how you see a team like a Houston end up being a powerhouse. Those coaches recruit in against a different backdrop, and they focus on saying, hey, you're going to get an opportunity now.
I just think it's incredible that we have a game of this magnitude. I think this college football season in general is going to be a real good one. Are there any teams that you're seeing right now? I know it's early to ask this, but do you see any teams that might be maybe counted as a spoiler? Something like a Penn State maybe?
Yeah, Penn State, I'm up in the air on. They have this fantastic tight end. They have some fantastic players. They had a great run at the end of the year. What I'm not sure, and they had an excellent recruiting class this year. What I'm not sure about is, was that end of the year run just something where they got rolling, or are they really that good? Right. I think, you know, UCLA with Josh Rosen could be a spoiler, depending on what kind of year he has. Obviously, he's a guy that's going to be potentially a top, you know, 10, 15 pick. So they definitely are going to do some interesting things, and it'll be interesting to see what Clemson comes back with. It'll be interesting to see what Ohio State and Michigan come back with this year.
Yes, sir.
I mean, there's definitely some interesting storylines in college football.
I always think that when Michigan is in it, it's much better off for college football when the Wolverines are in it. You know, Ohio State's going to be a powerhouse and be successful regardless. But when Michigan is in it, oh yeah, I think college football is so much better when Michigan's in it. Certain schools just have that for me. When Michigan State was down, when Michigan was down and out, so to speak, some years ago, college football just didn't seem that exciting to me. But now that Michigan's back into the fray and competing, I think it's better for college football that they are. Certain teams sort of kind of have that. You know, like when your Michigan's competing, maybe your Georgia Tech's might come up for a miraculous year. Hey, they knocked us off in Florida State, I believe, last year. So when you have teams that just come out of nowhere like that, I think it's really good for college football.
Yeah, I mean, the powerhouse programs like Michigan, Ohio State, Florida State, Alabama being good is definitely exciting. And having upstart teams having an opportunity to knock them off and be in the mix with them is great. I mean, the run that Oregon had under Chip Kelly for that, you know, 5 to 10 year run was awesome, because you got an opportunity to have somebody else be in the mix there and have a shot at a championship. And so, you know, Clemson kind of did that the last couple of years with Deshaun Watson, and you know, someone else will be there as well. And I think it will be interesting to see how Texas does with Tom Herman back as coach, you know, coming from Houston. I think that's going to be interesting, because he's a heck of a coach.
Or Miami with Rick.
Yeah, Miami last year played pretty well in a lot of different spots. That will be an interesting one as well. I mean, Miami's, you know, has some other issues that makes it difficult for them to compete with a Florida State or a Florida. Obviously, Florida should be a good program again. And a lot of it has to do with facilities and the image that they have to fight against. You know, not having the facilities that some of the other programs have is tough, but obviously they're still getting players. And Mark Richt, being a guy that's, you know, played down there and knows the landscape, definitely is a good opportunity for him to hopefully take that program to the next level. I mean, they always have players. They always have NFL players. It's whether they can put it all together.
Speaking with Dave Schumann here with us, in UC Sports. Tell me a little bit more, before we get into the pro football, tell us a little bit, what do you do with NGCSports.com? Tell us what you do and how long you've been doing it.
Yeah, our focus is 100% on helping athletes get recruited. We run showcases, events. We do a lot of analysis on players at the high school level going on to college. So we've been doing that since 2005. Started with One Event New Jersey, built it up to become one of the premier programs throughout the country and seeing a lot of top players. I mean, guys like Marcus Mariota, Derrick Henry, Johnny Manziel, three of the last five Heisman Trophy winners, Deshaun Watson, they all came through our programs when they were in high school. Most of the athletes come through our programs when they're freshman and sophomore in high school. That's kind of what we're known for, is the underclassmen component of the events. But we work with athletes from seventh grade to seniors.
Let me ask you this. What's the number one mistake that these young athletes make in recruiting?
Oh, number one. Well, there's a couple mistakes, definitely. But the number one mistake is ignoring the academic side of things in high school and making sure that's in order. Over all the years of running events, it sounds scary, but somewhere towards 40 to 50% of those athletes don't even get the opportunity because they didn't do the job academically. And that's a shame. They still think it's amazing in this era of, so much information being disseminated that they still think that they could somehow slide by and get an opportunity. And that it doesn't work that way. So that's the number one biggest mistake. And the second biggest mistake that always glares to me is, believe it or not, athletes will not take a look at other schools. They'll get their heart set on a certain program and think that they're going to get recruited by that program. And a lot of times that program doesn't have any interest in them. Wow. And they'll pass up other opportunities because of that.
Wow, I didn't know that was a thing. So you need to kind of broaden your horizons or your scope when you're looking at colleges or potential colleges.
Yeah, always broadening your horizons. That's key. It's one of the things where if you don't take advantage of as many opportunities, the goal is to have a wide net of opportunities and be able to pick the best opportunity for yourself, whatever level that is. And the problem is that a lot of athletes don't cast that wide net. They really go and contact five or six schools, and when none of those schools get back with them or they don't have an interest in them, they either give up or they keep pursuing those same five or six schools, and they miss out on the other 700 or so schools that are out there playing football.
Wow. I didn't think that, because I was assuming that when you're in the recruiting process, it's a mutual thing on both sides. The schools are interested in you, you're interested in them, and whatever school fit, that's where you went. I didn't know that in that sense of it, you can limit yourself if you don't have a wide scope of things.
Wow. Yeah, there's no doubt. So obviously the top 1% players don't have an issue from that situation, the top 100 to 500 players in the country. But after that, even, there's somewhere around 2,500 Division I scholarships that go out each year. I mean, 500 to 2,500, they've got to cast a wide net. They've got to make sure they find the right places. So that's not even counting the athletes that are Division II and Division III, who a lot of times limit themselves, think they should be Division I, and really they might be a great player at the high school level, but they may not be that Division I talent. So that limiting their options is the biggest thing, and then academically not doing the job ends up limiting their options. Because the better grades you get, the more opportunities you have.
Right. And we are speaking to Dave Schumann, NGCSports.com. Do you also do camps as well?
Yeah, that's what we do. We do camps. We do combines. We do showcases, those kind of things.
Okay. Interesting. Got to definitely keep you in mind. I have an 8-year-old that might need your help in a few years.
That's right. Definitely in a few years. Send him our way. We'll be able to get a good look at him.
All right, let's go ahead and get into the NFL, so to speak. First thing I want to ask you, and I know you kind of have to kind of be tongue-in-cheek, so to speak, and don't want to put you in a bad situation, bad light. Do you think Colin Kaepernick's being blackballed?
Great question. I'm not in those meetings with owners and, you know, among management and among the coaches, so I don't really know the answer to that. I do know that as someone who's coached for a long time, who I own an NFL agency and deal with NFL players and put NFL players on teams, I know that teams shy away from, most teams, I should say, shy away from anything that could negatively reflect on their team. And if they think that could be the case, I wouldn't go so far as to say people would be blackballing him, and there may be some teams that are, but I would say the majority of teams are trying to figure out if it's going to reflect negatively on their team and their fan base.
Right.
And that's something that I do believe is being evaluated. When my players have gone through the NFL draft process, you know, they scrutinize every single thing that they have done. I mean, if they were a problem on the team, even if they never had any arrest record or anything like that, that could be something that could cause a problem from them getting on a team. So those are issues that happen all the time at the NFL. It's just that Kaepernick has been such a great talent for so long, people are definitely obviously willing to deal with a certain amount. But if he was a free agent player or a guy that was possibly turned on that 53-man roster they turn over each week, he wouldn't even be a consideration.
Do you just think that it's not about his protest? Do you think that teams just don't feel he's a good fit?
I look at it like this. If Kaepernick was playing like he was when they had their playoff run, there probably would be a few teams that would say, you know what, we're absolutely willing to deal with this.
Right.
It always comes to, you know, people may not like it out there, but it comes to risk versus reward. And is his performance at a level that if they feel the reward is not that great and the risk is too high, they're always balancing those things. And a lot of these NFL teams, run analytics on this kind of stuff. So, they'll do research on this kind of stuff. You'll see the Baltimore Ravens; they're right now doing research, and people were scrutinizing them because they're doing research as to whether Kaepernick would be a positive impact for their team or not, as a backup quarterback. And the biggest thing is if he was still a bona fide starting quarterback, I believe he'd have a few opportunities at least. Absolutely. Being a guy that's kind of slid down, not performed at the level that he was at, that makes it a situation where they just look at the risk versus reward.
Right.
And, if they feel that it's too big of a risk for their team versus the reward that they would get from his performance, then they weigh that. And I think that's the bigger issue. And, you look at teams like the Dallas Cowboys who are willing to deal with a little bit more on the risk side than some other teams. And then you look at teams like the New York Giants, where I am in New Jersey, who are always risk adverse to those kind of things.
So it looks more less than what happened with his stance that's keeping him out of the league. It's more of his productivity that is sort of, quote unquote, keeping him out.
I think it coincided. So as that was happening, his productivity happened to be going on a downslide.
It was.
And if that wasn't the case, I think somebody's going to be willing to deal with it. Would every team be willing to deal with it? No. But there would be some teams that would be willing to take that risk as to what the fans think. And it doesn't matter what your stance is whether you're for what he believes in or against what he believes in. If you like how he handled it or dislike how he handled it, it has to do with the NFL teams really look at it as, honestly, I think they really look at it from a business standpoint as to, is his performance at a high enough level that I'm willing to bear possible risk for our team and our business.
Once again, we have Dave Schumann on with us, NUCSports.com, here on Rant and Radio. Wanted to get your opinion on two rookies who seem to be turning heads in early training camp, Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey. What do you think about those guys, and what do you think their chances are to be starters or to contribute in a big way this year?
I think both guys will have a chance to contribute in a big way.
Me too.
Both guys have big time speed, and I think what you're seeing in the NFL more and more, especially at that running back position, the versatility to catch the ball, to be able to line up in the slot, to be able to run the ball, that athleticism and speed is really valuable because, you know, no longer does anyone line up, very few teams line up with a fullback and, you know, two tight ends and just, you know, barrel ahead. That doesn't happen anymore. So the game is spread out. You have to be able to move. And so speed becomes more and more at a premium. And what McCaffrey does and what Dalvin Cook can do with his explosiveness and speed. I mean, Dalvin Cook is right away, in every down back. Christian McCaffrey, his size, you know, makes it where maybe he may or may not be in every down back, but he's going to be a huge impact because in the passing game, he's going to be so lethal.
I think he's going to be a better version of Danny Woodhead. I really do. A little bit more explosive. I don't know about him being every down back. I do agree with you on the size factor, but he's definitely somebody that can come in there on third downs and definitely make an impact. I love Dalvin Cook. I think at some point he will upstart Latavius Murray, assuming Murray comes back healthy from injury for the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, that's a definite factor.
I mean, oh my goodness, both of these guys are incredible guys, and to get them where you got them in the draft, I mean, you got Cook in the second round, so you can't beat that for a playmaker of that caliber. Any early NFL favorites you got?
Say it again?
Do you have any early NFL favorites?
As far as team-wise?
Yeah.
Well, I think the Cowboys are, should be pretty darn good. They got a great line. They've got a running back. They've got a quarterback. If he plays like he did last year, then they're going to be in great shape. I think the team that could be interesting, and I'm a Cowboys fan, so for me to say this hurts. So the team that could be interesting is the Giants because of the three receivers they have.
Yes.
Picking up Brandon Marshall. I just think that they're very explosive. They got a quarterback who consistently year in and year out is going to put up great numbers. So if their line can hold up, that's always been the issue. Giants haven't spent as much in that area. But if the line can hold up, they got receivers that are going to be very, very difficult to stop. So I think that's going to be interesting. And I think what's interesting about the NFL is you really don't know until the season starts who's actually going to step up in that season. And I think, you know the Patriots are going to be there.
Yes, sir.
Just because they have a great program. But you don't know what other teams can get to that point.
Let me bring up another controversial athlete that we had in the draft this year, Joe Mixon. And I'm just speaking from a football standpoint, not looking at anything else. He may end up being your starter. They don't believe in Jeremy Hill anymore. And although Gio Bernard, he's out recovering from ankle surgery, I do believe. So what's your opinion on Joe Mixon?
From a talent standpoint,
mm-hmm.
He seems to have great explosion. He can do some things as well as an every down back that can be lethal. So I think that the Oklahoma backs have had great success in the NFL. Adrian Peterson, DeMarco Murray. So you're talking about a place that utilizes the running back, has had great success, all under Stoops. So I think he's going to have a great opportunity for success. It's a place that needs a running back to kind of doing things by committee. So he'll have definitely an opportunity to shine there. All the other stuff that surrounds from the off the field, if he's able to stay away from those issues, then, running back's one of those positions that so many guys that you think, I go back to Trent Richardson several years ago, you think could have that opportunity to be great, and they do get that opportunity right away, but for whatever reason, sometimes the NFL game is a little bit different. It doesn't always pan out. So running back is so hard to predict. That's why I think speed is so imperative. Like, the guys that have speed, it makes you a little bit more predictable that you'll be able to have a certain amount of success because you could be utilized in the passing game.
And speaking of the passing game, let's talk about Odell Beckham and what he said to the media this last weekend when he said he is going to be the top paid player, not receiver, top paid player. I don't think that would ever happen because no wide receiver is going to make quarterback money. But he is a tremendous receiver. So you have to look at it. The only thing that he could do is just go to the Giants and ask. Is there anything wrong with him asking for that money even though he won't get it?
Well, he's going to get a lot of money. There's no doubt about it. The Giants have already said to management that he's going to get paid. So he's going to be pretty close to being one of the highest paid players. And you're right about the quarterback situation. And you got guys like Tom Brady who take pay cuts, basically. I mean, he would, if there wasn't a cap, he'd be paid 10 times what he's getting paid. But as far as he's going to be pretty close to being one of, he may initially sign a contract that makes him the highest paid player, and then someone may trump it at the quarterback position that goes through free agency. But there's no doubt that he's going to be in that position. If he has another great year, and he could avoid being injured, if the Giants do not sign him and pay him, there probably will be an uproar in the New Jersey, New York area.
Let me just stick on receivers for a second. Is Antonio Brown the best receiver in football, in your opinion?
Well, he might be the most complete. He can line up anywhere. It's tough because there are guys that do different things. Like, I love Julio Jones.
Me too.
I've always had a thing that I always like big receivers. Now, big receivers do really well early on in their career and sometimes struggle as the speed goes away a little bit. But, Antonio Brown doesn't have to worry about it. He's so shifty. He can line up outside. He can line up inside. He could be available in the return game. He's just unbelievably explosive. He can do more things probably than anyone else. I think Odell Beckham is like that as well. I think those guys are neck and neck in similar kind of capabilities. And then you got Julio Jones who can go and he's big, he's fast. And he pulls the ball, and those guys are the three receivers that I think are beyond exceptional.
But Julio, the speed is there, but he has the one thing you can't teach, and that's that size. You can't teach size. And you saw him in the Super Bowl. He was amazing in the Super Bowl.
Amazing. That's the issue with a small receiver. If a big corner has a good game and is on point that day, as you see sometimes with, Odell Beckham every once in a while will struggle for a half here or, take him a little while to figure it out. And that's when, you get a situation where you get a corner that's fast enough, that can be physical enough on him. No, with Julio Jones, that can't happen. I mean, you just have a situation where he's too physical. He's too big. He's fast. He's fast enough. He's got excellent speed, and his hands are forget about it. I mean, all those guys got great hands. Julio Jones seems to just like engulf the football when it comes to him.
Let me ask you this: we have a couple of New England Patriots fans that support Uranium. That would be Surfer and Rage. They are big, huge Patriot fans. I want to ask you, is there anyone in the AFC that isn't have a chance to unseat them this year?
Everyone and no one. That's how I would put it. Everyone has a chance, but every year it requires a team that is going to be on point, game plan wise, preparation wise, athletic wise, and matchup wise. And I think what Bill Belichick does and his staff does so well is they get the pieces that Tom Brady needs each year, and they don't worry about if they lose one guy for whatever reason, they find the piece that fits, and they just keep following that formula every single year. As long as they have Tom Brady at quarterback, they have a situation where they can continue to do that because they can shore up the defense. The defense has confidence knowing that it's the pressure isn't on to make every single stop. They've got to make enough stops. And as a defensive player, that's very, very reassuring because you know that the offense is going to get rolling at some point. So I think they have a unique situation. In order for someone to unseat them, I mean, last year you thought at times there were some teams that were going to be able to do it, and they just couldn't. They just couldn't, you know. They moved the ball around the field so well. It's going to be tough. Either Bill Belichick has to retire or Tom Brady has to retire, one of those two, before somebody else can be a favorite over them.
Speaking with Dave Schumann, NUCSports.com, right here on Rant Aaron Radio. You guys can call in and be a part of the show. 706-993-4606 is that number to call in. I thought one of those teams that could beat the Patriots would be the Steelers. But they're still deficient on one side of the ball, which is the defensive side of the ball. Now, they did draft J.J. Watt's brother. You think he can make a difference?
I mean, he's a very good player, and he's, I guess, worthy of the pick he has. But, you know, you don't know until they get in there if he's going to have that kind of an impact. They need an overhaul completely, and they need everybody working in the same direction for that to change.
They still running that base 3-4?
Yeah. Yep.
They need to retool that thing. But other than the Steelers, I can't really – what, maybe the Colts?
The Colts, if their picks this year pan out, I mean, they've been – 1 year looked great, next year looked terrible. Andrew Luck struggled a little bit. I don't know if the Colts have it there. The Colts' concern is the way they draft and their management. I don't think puts them in a situation where – They can get to that level consistently, and that's, you know, the Ravens are good, but they have some holes as well. So it's hard to really say it. There's a team that can pin down and say can compete with them.
So since we've already established for the most part that the Patriots are going back, who in the NFC can represent us this year? An early pick.
I like the Cowboys. Other teams that I think could get there. I mean, the Falcons are going to have an opportunity again.
Yes.
I think. For me, the number one, I think this is the year that the Cowboys get through that jinx over that hump and are going to be they're probably the prohibitive favorite, even though the Falcons were there. They're probably the prohibitive favorite to get there. So to me, it's the Cowboys right now that are front runner there.
Let me tell you a team that I'm having a harder time getting a read on over in the NFC. That's the Green Bay Packers. You know Aaron Rodgers is going to be great. You know that. I don't know about the rest of the squad, though.
Yeah, I think the Green Bay Packers are a squad that is kind of still, like, hanging on. Like, they're very good, but there are times when they're great. They're not exceptional all the time. Defensively, they should be pretty decent. But, you know, they rely completely on Aaron Rodgers to make things happen. It'll be interesting to see on the flip side in the AFC with the Denver Broncos if they can improve this year. That'll be interesting. Quarterback is up for grabs. So that'll last year they went with an unheralded, Trevor Siemian, and now Paxton Lynch, I think, is going to be in the mix this year. So that'll be interesting to see what they come up with.
I'm hearing rumors that they haven't made a decision. No one between Lynch and Siemian has really made a jump ahead of one another for the starting role. But again, training camp is early, so we'll see where that battle ends up. Another team I have a question on, the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills, well, new coaching staff. Buffalo Bills, I really don't know if they're going to be able to do it. That's a crapshoot. They're disarray after last year. New management, new coaching staff. They're trying to make some changes. I think it'll take a couple years before they get to that point where they're going to have an opportunity.
It should be a good season. I am looking forward to it, and it needs to hurry up. I don't have anything against baseball. I'm a Mets fan, but we need to hurry up and get this NFL and this college ball underway. We need to hurry up and get it moving. Dave,
no doubt about it. I'm stuck watching Game of Thrones and Ballers every Sunday night, because that's all I have.
Oh, man. Like I say, it should be an amazing season. Oh, I do have one more question. And we spoke about Oklahoma running backs earlier. Adrian Peterson, can he be productive for my Saints?
Yeah, I think the Saints are actually an interesting team. I think the Saints have a great coach. Adrian Peterson, if he's healthy, you could definitely get a year or two out of him that could be really productive. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Fame running back. He's the kind of guy that if everything's working, he could be a difference maker. The Saints, I think, are an interesting team for that reason, because you don't know. I mean, if Adrian Peterson puts together something special, they got Drew Brees, they got a lot of talent down there, and they have a fantastic coaching staff. So the Saints are a team that could possibly make a run if Adrian Peterson's on point, because they got Mark Ingram as well as a running back, and to be able to bang it in inside. They've got several productive draftees. I mean, I think they're going to be in good shape.
If that defense can come half as close as being as well as the offense, I think they'll be all right. Zeke Elliott, being a Cowboys fan, do you think Zeke Elliott is going to be all right? It came out today that he doesn't look like he's going to be punished for any infractions. So it looks like Dallas is intact and good to go.
Yeah, I mean, in Big D, he'll be fine. I don't see anything else coming of this at this point, unless something comes out that nobody knows about. He's got to kind of stay out of that mix there in Big D. And if the league isn't going to come down on him, it's a pretty good chance that there's really nothing that's going to put him in a jeopardy situation. So So I think from a Cowboys standpoint, he's probably in good shape. The Cowboys as a whole, have to figure out a plan to make sure that they, at least PR wise, have everything in check, because they're in a PR nightmare every single week on some of their guys. But I think Ezekiel Elliott, I don't know exactly what happened, but as far as NFL and playing wise, I don't see anything happen going forward. And if something does happen, it'll be a minor suspension.
Right. Maybe one or two games here or there, just to iron things out, to show them that you have to be careful in everything that you do. Dave Schumann, NCUSports.com, I want to thank you for coming on with me tonight, and we'll hope to have you on again real soon, okay?
Yeah, love to be on anytime you need me. I like the late night push.
Oh yeah, man.
I enjoy it.
I'm the king of it, man. So we will definitely get together again soon, okay?
Yep, and anyone wants to ever interact with me, talk with me about it, then go to at NUC Football over on Twitter or NUCSports.com.
You got any events or any camps that are coming open soon, maybe the next week or so?
Yeah, we have our All-American game for high school kids. We do it for each grade from 7th through 12th grade. They each have their own game, so they can go on NUCSports.com to see that, or NUCAllAmerican.com. Yep, that's coming up in December. So we're putting together all the teams for that. I think we have 6 grades that have teams, and we got about 30% of the spots filled. So someone can go on there and they can nominate themselves right on the website.
There you go. Dave, thank you for joining me. I do appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Have a good night, man. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Thank you.
All right. That was Dave Schumann, NCUCSports.com. Wanted to have him on last week. Couldn't hook up, but we did go ahead and hook up this week. Got some football talk out of the way. It is 11:56 in the p.m., guys, so I'm going to go ahead and get on out of here. But I got to go to work tomorrow. I need to get some rest and get ready for work tomorrow. Again, always join us, rantamradio.com. Number for you to always call into the show is 706-993-4606. We also have other fine programming that you can listen to on the network as well. Tomorrow will be a Rant AM doubleheader. Tomorrow we'll have the Shining Wizards at 7 p.m. Eastern, followed by the Rant with Tony CNAA. Those guys going to go over the week in pro wrestling. Get your thoughts on Raw, get your thoughts on SmackDown, and so forth. Thursday, we're moving into Rant and Wrestling. Friday, going into Turnbuckle Throwbacks with my man Philly Phil and Choppy. Then Sunday is the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show, or as you want to say, What Are You Ruling Comic Book Show with my man Surfer. Then we're back here again Mondays, 11:15 p.m. Eastern, rantamradio.com, right after Monday Night Raw. We'll definitely be here and go ahead and get you through your sports fix. That's going to do it for me this week, guys. I do appreciate everybody being here. Thank you for the downloads, and I'll see you again next week. Everyone, please take care.